This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
All right, and happy Wednesday on Fesco and Dusty. Mac Morey, Dusty Leggins, Bob Fesco with you here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
What do you guys want to talk about today? Oh, shoot.
I think everybody's awake now.
I would imagine, right?
Boy.
Where do we start with this one today?
I don't know. What an entertainment afternoon yesterday. I'm leaving work. Go have a little lunch with some colleagues. I get in my car. I head to the golf course. Twitter opens up. So I get a red light. I'm getting honked at because I'm so out of place. Like, I'm like sitting there. The light's red. You know, the other people are getting ready to turn. I'm on Twitter and I'm like, oh God. Okay.
Right.
It's green, idiot. Okay. Sorry. And on we go. So, a very loud, I guess very, very loud day on the internet, very loud day on the radio.
I guess it's always a loud day on the radio, right?
I guess unless, you know, you lose signal in St. Joe and it's, hey, everybody, this is B-Dub. Yeah. It's 75 degrees outside. Bob and Josh lost connection in St. Joe. Here's another sweet sound from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Yeah, it's so good. Yeah, it's really good.
All right, it's 7:14. We're back from break. Here's Brooks and Dunn. Neon Moon.
Yeah. Shout out B-Dub, man. Shout out B-Dub. He's listening this morning dying, I guarantee it.
It was so fun. Funny. That's one of the best days in radio ever. I'm just, for some reason, up on a Tuesday.
Oh, my God. Yeah, good for you. We're getting struck by lightning.
Well, I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah, every year in St. Joe.
Yeah. Oh, and then it's like, I'm driving back from getting my hair cut. It's like 7:15. Yes, I got my hair cut at 6:30 in the morning. It's the only time I could do it.
Yeah.
Used to work nights. And I'm driving back, and I'm just like, what's going on? And then I just hear that, like, hey, everybody, it's Tuesday at 8:14. We lost connection in St. Joe. Here is Ned Yost from 2015.
I was like, hell yeah. At least he wasn't playing Bob Feller interviews or anything like that.
I was like, hell yeah, Dub. But hey, man, we've done it all the time. Fesco, this is where Mr. Likens knows his lane. And go ahead and feel free to explain what you need to explain.
Well, I don't even know what I need to explain right now.
I don't either.
You know, first and foremost, with this whole stadium thing that has been going on, they have been talking to the folks at 119th and Nall. I will tell you that for a fact. And we saw that article or that release from the Asperia people yesterday, who are still in business, and they're trying to sell their property, but they're still in business. They still have tenants, so they need to make sure that everything is still on the up and up for their tenants there, because there is the possibility that these stadium deals don't go through. And that's the interesting thing. I want to back up a little bit. People say that I've said that it's going there. How many times have I come on before the stadium stuff and said, I'm giving you the information I'm hearing. I'm not saying anything's happening. I'm not saying I want this to happen. I'm just giving you what I'm hearing. I've never said it was 100% done anywhere in the city. And I even went on the record yesterday as we were talking about this, saying, I want downtown baseball. I've always wanted downtown baseball. I don't know if Kansas City has the appetite as a public for downtown baseball. So we need to get that cleared up right away. I've never said anything was definitive. I never said it was happening. I never guaranteed anything. I always said, I'm giving you the information that I'm hearing about the stadiums. You can do with it whatever that you want to do with that. And that is the information that we were hearing. And so Asperia puts out this statement yesterday, which a lot of people have told me came on the heels of the Business Journal's article on Monday saying that the Kansas deal looks like it's the best deal. And the downtown folks, you know, that business group from downtown was backing out of the Washington Square Park conversation, right? That's a lot of the reason why that Asperia article came out yesterday and that statement from them came out yesterday, because real estate people, business people read the Business Journal, right? They saw that yesterday. They went, uh-oh, we better probably release something, because we've been talking about 119th and Nall for how long now, Max, since you've been here, right? I mean, and you've been here
easily yeah.
since you've been here, and you've been here since July,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
So we've been talking about this for almost a year at this point in time, right? And so this isn't something that is new, that we just mentioned 119th and Nall for the first time. Not at all. But the Business Journal had that article on Monday saying it looks like the Kansas plan is full speed ahead, basically. We read you the quotes yesterday, and business people read the Business Journal. Real estate people read the Business Journal. They see that. Uh-oh, panic. We've got tenants at the Occidental Asperia campus. We better make sure that we let them know, hey, nothing to see here. There's no deal done yet, as we continue to move that campus forward. Because any site, as we've seen throughout this entire process, can be failed. The East Village, the Crossroads, Washington Square Park, 119th and Nall, North Kansas City. How many options have we had for this stadium since that vote failed, or really since the beginning of the vote when they were trying to get that stadium done, right? Mm-hmm. So this is another along the lines of what's going on. And that's on the Royals, right? Like, they have not said anything. The Chiefs have not said anything about this. They've not controlled the message on what's going on when it comes to the stadium. I've said 1,000 times, I don't care where this stadium goes, as long as it's in the metro area. I've been very clear of that. I've never said it was going to 119th and Nall. I've never said it was going downtown. Well, I did at the beginning when we thought the vote was going to pass and it was going to be a done deal. And then Mayor L gets involved and decides to take it away from the East Village location and move it to the Crossroads location because he wants to make a bridge to make the Cornish people happy. Fine, whatever the case may be. But that was such a bad decision to move it from the East Village location at the beginning. There was nobody to really relocate at the East Village location. It would have been done. Everything would have been taken care of. I believe, anyway, that it probably would have passed a vote in that location. Some people tell me, nah, they don't think it would have passed in that location. But it would have been a lot more copacetic than what we saw once they decided to go to the East Crossroads area. And then that failed miserably, and it was never endorsed by Mayor L until Saturday at 1 o'clock, the Saturday before the vote. So that never stood a chance to pass. After the vote, we heard John Sherman's wife talk about their distaste for Jackson County on Facebook. We've heard so many people talk about their distaste for Frank White and the process that went on in Jackson County. So they started to look elsewhere, which is what we told you last February 26th was going to happen, by the way, that if that vote didn't pass, they would look at other municipalities. And they still are looking at other municipalities in the area. They're still trying to get this done. But my stance doesn't change at all. I told you, I'm going to give you the information that we are hearing. And that was the information that we were hearing. And it took
Occidental, Asperia, whoever owns that campus, like 8 months since we've been talking about it, to release a statement about it? And who believes what business has said? Because at one time, Roy Williams didn't give a bleep about North Carolina, and 12 hours later, he was in North Carolina. So you have to take everything for a grain of salt as well with all of this. So again, I'm staying where I am on this. Wherever the stadium goes in the metro, I don't care. Just get it built in the metro area, because that's what matters most.
So it feels like an interrogation, but
that's
I don't want it to be that way.
Like, yeah.
You're my friend.
Yeah.
Don't hate me.
Yeah, I'm not.
So here's how I think it goes down. And this is just from me reading yesterday. This is from me seeing different articles, knowing where you're coming from, because I understand where you're coming from. I don't think you're out here to advocate that it should go to this location.
No.
I think the one thing is, and I agree with a lot of people, and I'm, again, Jackson County resident. Mm-hmm. I would love if that stadium stayed where it's at. That's just me personally.
But it's not going to.
And I understand that.
And that's the one thing, like this proposal came out yesterday to renovate Kauffman. That's not an option, right?
Yeah.
That I talked to other people about that, and we've heard it from the Royals in the past. Renovating Kauffman Stadium is not an option. We have got to stop talking about that.
Yeah, and look, I'm spoiled because my whole life that location was there. It was nice. I've never thought that the Nall location felt like a baseball location. If you get my drift.
Sure.
I'm not saying that they haven't been talking or that they are, or that they're not. I just think a lot of people are in the same boat that like that location, Royals, like you're like, yeah, it's massive. It's huge. You can put whatever you wanted in there. You can put a Las Vegas Sphere in there if you wanted to.
Yeah.
But it's like, that just to me was always like, and again, there's a reason why I voted yes, because I wanted a downtown stadium.
I would have voted yes had I been in Jackson County.
I get tingly inside when I see like one day for opening day and they're showing PNC Park from a high location.
Oh my God, or did you see that picture?
Awesome. Yeah. Like dawn or whatever it was.
I've wanted downtown baseball since they started this conversation in 2001 at 20th and Grand.
I think the other thing that's got people in cahoots is nobody knows who's BSing. Nobody knows if Mayor Lucas is really BSing. Nobody knows if Asperia is BSing. Nobody knows if the people that are telling you things are BSing. And again, this is why I think it makes sense why our boss is like never politics on the air. Because again, nobody knows like who to believe because everybody has a different opinion.
Everybody has an agenda.
Or somebody has an agenda, or somebody has somebody that they seem to trust more than the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some people that are like, blow it out your ass, Bob. And then other people that I read as well, like Lucas got heat too. Like the one mayor that lost our teams in Kansas City was this guy. So to think that like you're the only person getting shade is definitely not true. There's other people there. And then there's, in my opinion, there's all my people that I live in the same county with that like had the opportunity to avoid all of this and just continue the 3/8 and just act like it didn't happen.
Right.
Understand that property tax coming in from teams is going to make money and that none of this would have happened. The other thing I think that's interesting is that we are a timing period, right? It's been a year.
Yeah.
When's the last time outside of when it voted no, that there's been this much spark? So I think that elevates everything down the trickle ladder of like, oh, it's been a year. They needed to be brought up again. The Royals are on the hot seat. Lucas, Bob's sources, all this stuff. F-119 the Nall. I don't want a downtown stadium. Like, as much as people hate the Nall location, you'd be surprised. That many people do not want a downtown stadium.
I know. I don't know that there's an appetite for a downtown stadium. I mean, we saw the vote, right? We saw the vote. It wasn't a close vote. It was a blowout, basically, right?
Like we said earlier this week, it was over at 7 p.m.
Yeah.
They're never over that early.
They're never that early, right? That thing was over. You turned on the news, like, yeah, this thing ended hours ago. And so my only agenda here, and I do have an agenda on this, and I'll be very clear on my agenda. Get a stadium built for the Royals and Chiefs to keep them in the metro area, regardless of where that is. Location does not matter to me. I want the stadiums built because I don't want to be sitting here talking about a team that we used to have and a team that could be moving. Look what's going on in Tampa. Look what's going on with the Oakland A's. Look what's gone on with a lot of these teams, the St. Louis Rams and all this kind of stuff. I don't want to be in that position. And for those that say it'll never happen, stop saying that because anything is possible when it comes to business and when it comes to dollars. So, yeah, my agenda is to get a stadium built. where that stadium gets built. I never cared where that stadium got built. I've always wanted downtown, but the 119th and Nall location is very carbon copy to the location that the Atlanta Braves have their baseball stadium in, which is the Battery and their Truist Park, which is something that John Sherman has talked about a lot. They've taken many a trip to Atlanta to look at the Battery. They've taken trips to Wrigley Field to look at that area around Wrigley Field and how they developed that. There's been a lot of due diligence going into this. Even before the stadium rumor started, there were people that worked for the Royals before that aren't there anymore that were doing stadium due diligence before any of this happened. So this has been going on for a long, long time.
The one question that I kept going back to yesterday after, you know, shooting 115 and then getting over that depression, it was, if they do find a location, maybe I should know the answer to this and do better homework. If they do find a location, wherever it is, do they have to then put it back to a vote?
In Missouri, they do, I believe. Okay. Yes. And in Kansas, they don't.
So it would be round two, yes or no?
And the earliest a vote could take place in Missouri, from what I'm being told, is like November.
Because that's what I was wondering. Like, if they do settle on a location, no matter where it's at, irrelevant to where it's
at
right
now, if they want to keep that 3-8 cent sales tax in place. Now, this plan that the mayor floated out yesterday about downtown and the $1.2-1.3 billion or whatever, he said, I don't know
Washington
where that money's
square.
Yeah, and that is public land, so they can basically lease that land to the Royals without a vote. But does that land give you what you want when it comes to building that ballpark village that they're so, you know, in love with, which they should be, because you need to generate revenue? I was reading an article about baseball revenues the other day, and they were talking about, if you don't have things going 365, you're screwing yourself. Do you get that at Washington Square Park? And does the metro area want downtown baseball? I do. I've been on record saying that. I think I've been very clear saying I want downtown baseball. But does the metro area want downtown baseball? And I don't know that there is an appetite there from your friends in Jackson County. Do they want downtown baseball? Mac, do your friends want downtown baseball?
He doesn't live in Jackson County.
Well, it doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter because 55% of the season ticket holders are in Johnson County. Are they going to go downtown? Do people want that? Yeah. I don't know.
I will tell you what I want. I don't want them to be in Nashville. Mm-hmm. I just want, that's it.
That's it.
Just don't leave.
Whether it's the Northland, whether it's Wyandotte,
the Southland, the Eastland, the Westland.
Who cares?
Just stay here.
Just build it here in Kansas City and get the deal done. But that's my whole thing. I never said it was going anywhere. I never guaranteed anything. I never promised anything. I said I'd share the information as I got it. Mm-hmm. Just so happens. And if people think my sources are lying, then there's a lot of different entities around this city that got together and created a great conspiracy theory to F Bob Fesco. I'll tell you that.
Should have brought some popcorn in today. Today's going to be awesome. I do have some sources on the text line that say they're hearing now Sedalia or Oak Grove.
Perfect. Fine. I don't care. Is it in the metro?
Just kidding. We are a day away from opening day. It is on the other side. But there is something going on right now that has absolutely insane viewership for the first time in a very long time. We'll dive into that on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Going down swinging. Mac was putting in new bump music yesterday. He's got to play the hits.
Yeah, you got the new ones here, huh?
He's back there playing the bass right now. Bass
Lord.
That's
exactly right. Yeah, we've got like 7 or 8. I hope one of them pops up. I was hoping this would be a new one.
Mac and I are actually going to start a new band called the Groove Tenders.
I like it.
I was thinking Musty, but
the old number five sent me a song yesterday. New song came from the old number fives. Yep.
Let's go. When are we?
I'll email to you right now, and you can put it in the system.
All right, I had a source in their band tell me the same thing.
What?
That there's a new song coming.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Brock.
And he's like, I don't know, this Google Drive doesn't work. I'm like, I've been there with you, brother.
Hey, look at Mac, that. Sources agreeing. Nice.
Yeah. I'm sending it to you, Mac. Yeah. And that's the other thing. It's like children fighting in a sandbox now, too, with this whole stadium.
Or a shine
thing, right?
Box.
I mean, it's just unbelievable, you know, what's going on. But, you know, you had the opportunity to get it done a year ago. It didn't work. And now you left everything open where everybody's going to talk. Everybody's going to have conversations. And everybody in Kansas City is 3 degrees of separation from everybody else. So keep that in mind when people are going, there's nobody out there talking. There's a lot of people that talk.
Heard they might put the stadium on I-70 and 7 where the old Applebee's is.
Oh,
still.
That would be good. I like that. Way out there.
Yeah. You can get Taco Tuesday at El Ranchero. Talkaholics. and go play 18 at Blue Springs Country Club. Now I'm just getting back home.
Yeah. So if Kansas is out and downtown is out, where is the stadium going? Are we back to North Kansas City?
Beautiful places off Pryor Road and Lee Summit. That's just full of land.
But that's all Jackson County. Will they vote for the 3/8 cent sales tax out there? There is still 95th and Antioch, which hasn't been mentioned in a while, but maybe that's another location, you know, that they can look at this point in time. I don't know. Just get the damn thing done.
Location, location, location. Wow, I have gray hair in my beard now. Welcome to mornings. I'm like, you know the movie The Santa Claus when he shaves and he comes back gray? I'm like shaving and I'm seeing Kling's face. I'm like, oh no. I got glasses now.
Yeah, that gray's gonna come fast, man. Oh, yeah. I'll tell you. It happens overnight.
Can't wait. Go from red to gray. Maloney will be pissed.
Oh, he'll be so mad.
Yeah. You gotta shave it, man. So viewership in the NCAA tournament is at an all-time high since 1993.
That's great, right?
I have a lot of questions, and I'd like to have Mac chime in on this as well, because what are they doing right that the NBA is doing wrong?
They're putting it's a 3-week deal, first of all. So it's postseason, and they got a bracket.
Because I'm interested to see what the NBA playoff numbers are this year. Because we've heard the NBA's numbers have gone down, 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 right?
Right.
But NCAA men's, this is of course to Austin Karp. NCAA men's basketball tournament is averaging 9.4 million viewers, making it the best figure through the second round since 93, right? That's across CBS, TBS, TNT, and True TV, a plus 3% from last year.
That's great.
Sunday alone had 10.1 million viewers, led by, of course, Duke, Kentucky, and Florida and UConn.
Big name programs.
Right? You had Hurley, you had Kentucky, Duke. You had Duke, right? Cooper Flagg. What we said is, what did we say before the tournament started when Cooper Flagg got hurt in the first game of the ACC?
Well, that
sucks. What was your take? This guy has to be healthy for the tournament because they need him for exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So I think that the yin and the yang of the tournament, where people are sadness with the non-madness, are also kind of seeing the fact that, like, the big teams and the Blue Bloods, not necessarily a lot of them, but
the name programs, like, you recognize the names.
They bring them in, right? Yeah. They and a lot of people that did their brackets said it was all chalk. They just took, you know, whatever. The highest seed in there is a 10, and from the SEC, it's Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
All four number ones are there. Three number twos are there. And here we are, and everybody's tuned in. Now, I will also say I think there's a little bit of help from gambling.
Huge help. Right? Huge help from gambling. Yes.
I mean, we're back at it tomorrow, boys.
Yep.
So we'll be ready for that. We've got opening day gambling, got, you know, March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
But a great number so far for college basketball, and I think that number is going to be even the same or a little bit higher this weekend.
But this is what happens when you have the teams that people know, right? Like, whether or not you are an Arkansas fan, you have feelings towards John Calipari, whether you like him or you hate him. There's no middle ground. There's nobody that just walks around and goes, he's okay. No, you either like or you hate John Calipari, so there's rooting interest there. Same thing goes for Duke, right? You either like Duke or you don't like Duke. There's no middle ground.
Or
there.
You
Kentucky,
hate
or you hate. That's what I'm saying. You're watching one way or the other. That's why they want the Dodgers and the Yankees in the World Series all the time. Super Bowl doesn't matter because it's the NFL. But you want those big brand name teams to be there. You want the madness on Thursday and Friday of the first round. Mm-hmm. And then you want everybody else that you know and you're comfortable with to be there so you can tune in. Because the average fan, now that you're into the Sweet 16, your bracket may be busted, maybe you're on opening day or whatever else the case may be. If it's St. Francis, who, by the way, is leaving Division I now because of NIL and going to Division III, but if it's St. Francis taking on Slippery Rock, you're probably not going to tune in. Duke versus Kentucky? Even the most average, casual sports fan is going to tune in to watch that. So I think the NCAA tournament has everything that you could want in a sporting event. It's a hit it and quit it. It's 3 weeks long. It's a bracket. It's gambling. Everybody's involved. And people pay attention for 3 weeks. That's why it does so good. It's the perfect sporting event wrapped in a bow.
That's
a really good threesome.
Yeah. I will say also the thing about it is product placement. What other sports are going on right now?
Yeah.
Like, I think I was the only one at the station last night that probably watched Billy Horschel in the TGL last night.
Hey, man, I was watching Tigers and Giants.
Locked in.
Yeah.
Spring training game, baby.
Last one.
It was. That's what was a little sentimental.
But I think that, like, where the tournament's at, obviously the shock factor of the tournament, right? Not a whole lot of exciting games. Obviously, you had the Maryland game.
Yeah.
You had the
Florida and UConn.
UConn game, UConn, which was exciting. But that was it. Like
the Oregon game, but it got over at 11:15.
Way too late for anybody to participate in.
Right, and now you have, you know, Sweet 16 Thursday and Friday, Elite Eight Saturday and Sunday.
Right,
and then we'll have the Final Four and the championship game. Right. So I think it's product placement where it's at, and I also think that the teams that are in it sell. Like we hated the World Series last year, right?
Greatest ratings they've had in decades.
Why?
Yankees, Dodgers.
Thank you.
You're watching, whether you're liking it or hating it.
Not only that, the first four had record numbers.
I know.
Why?
Texas and North Carolina and Xavier, right?
Yeah. Three real programs.
Real, legit programs.
And I also read this is the most accessible March Madness has been since this streaming wave. I mean, you can watch it on all the apps. Plus, they have the March Madness free app where you can watch every game.
But how is this any different than before?
He's compared to the NBA.
Yeah, I'm comparing it to the NBA as far as accessibility.
Somebody said in the text line, Dusty, March Madness Live is a free app. You typically have to pay to watch the NBA.
Yeah, which is another thing. They're giving it to you for nothing, which, again, NFL, do not get rid of free TV. It's what made you who you are.
Exactly. I mean, we've griped about it with the MLB and with the Royals. The same thing with the NBA. It is really hard to watch games. Oh, we'll pay for NBA TV. Well, I only get the away games. If I'm a Washington Wizards fan, I'm never getting to watch my team play. I think that's really hard. I also think it's, like, for NCAA basketball, I think they have the same issues. These 3 weeks are great for them, but did we watch the last 3 months?
No.
They've got to figure that part out still, so right. I don't want that to hide the issues from them.
I told you guys, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but no. I told you guys, sorry, the Cody. Tournament and college basketball. I mean, I can't even go on now. So good. The tournament.
I just want to win, Jen.
And college basketball. Not the same thing at all.
100%.
Completely different entities. Completely different things.
It'd be like saying, like, well, why does the Super Bowl get so much views compared to week two regular season? It's like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NFL, we can't even like really put that in its own entity of like where it's at. But like, I think that is the difference in college basketball and in the NBA is that like, one, the NBA is just insanely just a long season and everybody just gets locked in around what? Now?
Yeah, about April 15th,
tax day. Also, to your point, if you're, what did you say, a Memphis Grizzlies fan?
A Wizards fan?
You probably don't want to pay for the NBA app.
Yeah, so that's true. Yeah.
But again, like, I think it's one of those things where everybody has more of a chance, I think, and so you love the potential.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The hope.
Yeah.
We talk about, you know, hate watching Duke. Like, oh, I just want to watch him. Like, people hate listen. Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to sit in my car, but that's what attracts people is that they can have that because if everybody agreed, it'd be boring. Mm-hmm. We'd be in and out of this business really quick. But I think that when you look at like how people watch March Madness, you have the brackets, you have sports gambling, you have all this sort of stuff that goes on, office pools, all this sort of thing to where like where I think it's also helped is that when your bracket is busted, oh, darn. Now I'll go to FanDuel or now I'll go to DraftKings or now I'll go to Underdog and I'll just start betting because I'm never out of it technically. Oh, my team St. John's is out and I had a flyer on them. Okay, who's the next team I think? Oh, you know, Duke is plus 350 or plus 400 or whatever to win the national title. All right, I'll put a little coin on that and see what happens. Oh, Duke lost in the Sweet 16. All right, now I'm going to go to Houston. You know, you can do that.
Yeah.
And I think the game has kind of like excelled in that department. But I also think it goes back to the root of the conversation. You have Duke, you have Kentucky, you have Tennessee, you have Arkansas, you have Florida, you have Houston, you have all these major markets, and everybody's going to watch because if you did chalk your bracket up, you're still locked in. If you have an outright bet that's a longevity bet where you're hoping that this team can win, boom, you're in there.
So, Matt, can you do a little quick research and see what the lowest rated Final Four was, not counting like COVID and all that kind of crap?
Lowest rated final.
Yeah, what do you think it was going to be? What do you think it is? I bet it's one that involved Butler.
That or like, did Loyola Chicago make a Final Four?
They did. Yeah,
probably
right.
That year, maybe.
Or VCU, maybe. I'm just guessing off the top of my head, right?
Well, I mean, what? The Yankees and or the Royals and Mets was a low rated World Series.
It was a low rated World Series.
Because it was like, oh, the Royals.
Yeah, it was like the Mets.
Yeah.
No, it's funny. Like when we were there in New York, I was doing stuff for Channel 9 and I was walking around asking people, they had no idea that the Mets were even in the World Series. And that's New York. And they didn't care. And it was Queens and you could see the stadium.
And I think the other thing that goes to it is that, like, now baseball's in the picture, right? Because they're going to play Thursday, some teams will play Friday, and then everybody will play Saturday and Sunday, basically. Right. Do you think the numbers are either the same, or do you think that they are even higher with another sport involved?
I think they're probably about the same. Yeah, okay. I think they're. I don't think baseball is going to take away from the viewership of the NCAA tournament, because the NCAA tournament is such a standalone thing that everybody seemingly is invested in. Right? More than a sporting event. It's. I know, like, Super Bowl Sunday is a pop culture holiday in America. Mm-hmm. This is a pop culture event in America as well. I mean, I obviously the Super Bowl is the biggest sporting event. But I think these 3 weeks of March Madness are probably the second biggest consumed sporting event that we have in this country, right? Fair.
Yeah. I mean, I just think it's just the surprise factor. It's the, you know, what could happen. Like I was telling you guys yesterday in our post-production meeting, I think Tennessee and Kentucky is going to pull massive ratings, because Tennessee is 0-2 against Kentucky this year. It is Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Tennessee's got a lot of people that are, you know, kind of, you know, rooting for them to kind of be the team that's like the second tier team in basketball, even though they have a good roster.
Right.
But I think that, like, with that matchup, an SEC matchup, that even though we say in the national title game, if it's Georgia, Alabama, woof, ratings galore.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's an SEC battle. That's a rivalry game to the max. People will be tuned in, even if you aren't a Kentucky or Tennessee fan. I think the same thing goes for Duke and Arizona. Arizona's a massive program.
Yep.
And Duke's top dog, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to see Cooper Flagg. So, like, everybody knows who Cooper Flagg is now. Maybe 50% of that population knew who he was prior to this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
You knew he was the best player in college basketball. You knew who he was going to be. And then all of a sudden, like, you watch this tournament and everything starts to fall into place. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, we're going to get Duke and Kentucky in the Final Four.
Sweet.
Hello.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so it's
there's
like,
that possibility. Yeah.
Now they got a couple games to go, but right. You know, I mean, even Purdue doesn't move the needle a ton, but Purdue is one of those teams that people will watch.
Yep.
And it's, you know, they're playing close to home in this next two rounds. So I think there's a lot of surprise factor. I think there's a lot of perfect product placement. And I think there's also the fact that you have gambling, you have brackets, you have the opportunity to come back and keep going, even if you do not make it with your bracket, which used to just be the end-all be-all.
Right, and it would be interesting to see what the NCAA tournament would be like if everybody didn't do a bracket. Whoever decided to do that bracket when the NCAA tournament came out for the first time, genius move, one of the greatest innovations in all of sports, because they found a way to capture and captivate people who don't care about their sport. But there's a bracket, there's bragging rights, there's money, there's family pools, there's office pools. Everybody is involved with the NCAA tournament.
So, yeah. Did you get any research back there, Mr. Mallory?
Yeah, so, I mean, they give you each year for Final Four for each semi-game and then the championship, just how many people watch it. It's actually pretty consistent over the years. Obviously, 2021, you mentioned that COVID year, Baylor-Houston, one of the Final Four matchups, under 10 million, really low, 8.5. But other than that, I mean, you go year to year, it's pretty consistent. 12 million, 13 million, just going off different Final Four games in years, 14. You had one, UNC and Oregon pulled an 18.2.
That's huge.
That's
UNC,
massive.
Yeah, but it's North Carolina, right? Yeah.
UNC and Syracuse in 2016, 12. Yeah. You know, Villanova, Oklahoma, 10. You get to that Butler game. Give me 1 second.
One.
Butler, VCU in 2011, 14 million.
Wow. Okay.
So the worst rating that we got was what, the year after COVID?
The year after COVID, yeah.
It was just that one game. The rest, the other semi game and the championship game were normal.
But
that one game
averaged about a 10 million viewer,
maybe 11 or 12.
And
even,
to put that into perspective, the NFL on a random Sunday gets 20-25
exactly. Browns, whatever, Colts.
Yeah, it's getting 20 million people, right?
Yeah, no doubt. It is a Wednesday, so it is a Fesco and Dusty poll question Wednesday. No secret of what tomorrow is. It is one of the greatest days of the year. It is a opening day, a tradition that I love more than anything, but of course, since it is Wednesday.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
Pretty simplistic question. Do you tailgate for opening day? Sellout crowd, right? 30, somewhere around there, 1,000 people will be there. Probably a lot of people are going to get there early. We'll have the news on because I'm sure there'll be a car ready to go in.
Yeah, car's probably ready to go in right now.
7 a.m.
Right?
But it is a simple question. Do you tailgate for opening day? Yes or no? Because I think that's the day where you do kind of, you know, take the ball in the glove, get there a little early so you're there.
Right.
Do a little short toss, take a little Jersey Mike's sub, you know.
Ooh, nice.
Do it now. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, that's right. Month of giving right now, Jersey
right.
Mike's. Yeah. Okay. All goes great. To Braden's Hope.
Yeah. So
I have an excuse now.
So like 100% of their proceeds go to that foundation. So good reason to get that.
Okay,
go
sweet.
Go get you a little couple subs. Eat them in the back of the tailgate. Going to be 75 degrees. Do you tailgate for opening day? Yes or no? That is the question. Because I think I will. I'll be there tomorrow. Can't wait.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, cannot wait. So
you gonna bring the glove, bring a ball?
I think so. Depending on when we get there, depending on what the weather does. I know it's supposed to rain early in the morning.
Oh yeah.
But then by the time it gets to like 11, clear
day.
Clear days and breezy and 75. So yes or no on tailgating for opening day. I would say yes is gonna be the winner of that.
I think so.
I think people will be like, opening day, I tailgate it. Well, not everybody does that.
I tailgate on Tuesdays in May for the Padres.
But I think that is like, I think for a lot of people, that will be the only day they'll be like, yeah, that's the only time I go to the Royals game and tailgate because it's a party.
It is, yeah.
I mean, everybody's there. Everybody's in a good mood. And then hopefully they win because if they don't, then the season's over. Right. So, I mean, because normally what, like, if you go to a Royals game, like, you'll take like a sixer and drink a couple after you park and then like maybe take one to walk in with and then you get in the game and that's it. That's like, that's the equivalent of baseball tailgating. Yeah. Opening day, you're taking some wieners.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be people out there. I've heard from people, we're going out at 8 o'clock. I'm like, you're going out at 8 o'clock.
Pace yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the game doesn't start till 3. I mean, what are you going out there at 8? What are you going to do all day?
Yeah, 3:10 start. They'll probably start doing introductions around 2:30.
Yeah, they'll probably say get in your seat by 2:30 or something like that.
Which is, I think, fine. Somebody in the text line says we get there by 9 every year.
Wow. That is early, man.
That's true blue, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, when we tailgate for a Chiefs game, I mean, we're only there for like 4 hours early, it seems like.
Yeah, it sounds right.
Yeah, but you have the system down. Like, you got the spot, the people. Yeah. Some people have to get there, like, way earlier than that.
No, but, I mean, that's when the gates open. Like, they don't open 6 hours early. I mean, you know, they open about 4 hours early, right?
No doubt. From Double J, yes, you tailgate for opening day. He'll be out there as well. So, Fesco and Dusty poll question on the Fan 96.5. Do you tailgate for opening day, yes or no? Coming up on the other side, Binkley and his sources. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Michael Wacha, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on a Wednesday, Fesco and Dusty with you, 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We'll be joined by Jay Binkley here in just a second as the NFL made some moves yesterday, in case you missed it. I don't know how you would have. Well, I do, actually. Russell Wilson's to the Giants. They might have a top three quarterback room in the NFL. That's a joke.
Danny DeVito, Russell Wilson, and Jameis Winston, that's baby. Right. Let's go.
That's, if I was Hard Knocks, that's where I'd go.
How could you not go right?
That's why you just wait and, you know, you don't need North Carolina. You go to the New York Giants camp and just be like, all right, let's follow Winston, Russell Wilson, and then this Tommy DeVito guy that's got his own Italian mob boss as his agent.
Right. So. Did you see that guy at the Super Bowl, by the way? I don't know if the agent guy.
I don't know if I did.
Oh, God. He was walking around in that top hat and the pinstripe suit.
Oh, he was on Radio Row, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he was there. That's a hell of a quarterback room. So the Giants just gave up dealing with Aaron Rodgers. They're like, there's nobody in the draft. Fine. Russell Wilson, can you come in here and hang out for a year and see what you can do?
That's hilarious.
I think it should be open competition, though, between him and Jameis Winston for the job. Don't you guys?
Yeah. And then.
Yes.
And then Stephon Diggs signs a massive contract with New England Patriots.
New England. What was that contract?
A lot of money.
God.
They got so much money, it's stupid.
I mean, insane amount of money for Stephon Diggs, right?
They'll play for 2 years, and they'll have a player option on year three, exactly. And then he'll be out. You know, he got all his guaranteed money, but it is Wednesday, 6:40-ish. Let's go to Jay Binkley. No? We don't want to go to Jay Binkley? We love it.
It's time for the College Football Report with Jay Binkley.
I'm still not sure I'm not Dusty's dad, but regardless.
On your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
It is that time on a Wednesday with Jay Binkley. Binkley, what say you about yesterday's NFL action that kind of came out of nowhere yesterday with Russell Wilson and Stephon Diggs?
I just know that the Hard Knocks should be the Giants, and I know that they did that. They've done stuff like this before, but that definite must-see TV with Jameis and Russell Wilson, that quarterback room. The room that does not have a quarterback. They just don't. And the funny thing is, are they going to draft one or not? Well, they were in the position to probably draft one, but they realized this quarterback class is not what it's supposed to be, so obviously they go the Russell Wilson route. As far as Stephon Diggs, I can see this thing lasting 1 year, and then bowing out of it after 1 year. I think Stephon Diggs' best days are behind him. And the fun thing is, you know, I tweeted it out right around free agency. There's a correlation that the highest spending teams don't make the playoffs.
Right.
It's ridiculous. Like, it's like 8 out of 10 of the top 3 spending teams in free agency don't make the playoffs the next year. The Patriots have gone absolutely wild in spending. I don't see any. The Tennessee Titans, remember, they were big spenders last year on defense, and they're the number one pick in the draft. And then, of course, the Carolina Panthers actually led the NFL in free agency spending, and how'd that turn out?
Yeah, not good. I mean, those are the numbers you throw out there when people get excited about, why aren't we signing this guy or signing that guy? It's because when you win in March, you don't win when it matters most, you know?
No, you don't. It just shows how much your team actually needs. And then you're talking about that cliff that guys fall off on the NFL really quick. And if a team really thinks that player is going to help their team, they're going to do everything they can to try to keep that player. It's why the Chiefs, you know, they said Trey Smith's going to be a valuable player and we need him. So they evaluated it and said, all right, that arrow's still pointing straight up. Let's go ahead and keep him with Kansas City because he's a player that they're going to need.
So how far is Shedeur Sanders and everybody not named Cam Ward at the quarterback position truly going to fall in this draft?
I don't think they're going to fall. I think they're going to. Those two are going to go really high. Well, obviously, Cam Ward's probably going number one overall. But it's, would they be if there was other quarterbacks in this class? I don't think so. I don't think this quarterback class is very strong. I don't think people think this quarterback class is very strong. I think it's Cam Ward, clearly number one. And I guess Shedeur, number two. But some team's going to take the chance on him. And if it works out, it works out, but it's probably not going to do that. And we're seeing that more and more with quarterbacks in the NFL. The guys like Sam Darnold, we knew he was going to get a big contract, but at the end of the year, I was like, oh, Sam Darnold's costing himself money. Well, because he was bad the last couple of games. But of course, with the quarterback situation the way it is in the NFL, he was going to make money. And the fact that the Giants, you know, this is Brian Daboll. I mean, the signing of Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, that guarantees he's going to be gone next year. I mean, if they drafted a quarterback, maybe he hangs on. Maybe they're like, well, you know what, we'll give him another chance if he can develop this quarterback. But the fact that you're going Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, if they don't draft a quarterback, which I don't think they're going to do at this point, if they don't, I think Brian Daboll is gone.
Beakley, I want to bring this up because I remember when Rodgers was in the draft, he fell like all the way to like, what, like 24 or something like that to Green Bay. Do you think Shedeur has that big of a drop?
No, I think some team's going to be quarterback starved, and they're going to get Shedeur. I mean, Shedeur has literally been all over the place. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's on all the places. People are saying, you know, number two, that Cleveland's going to go Shedeur now, and that he's going to fall out of the first round. He's all over the place. I think three quarterbacks are going in the first round, and I think the third one will be Jackson Dart.
So speaking of the first round, the Kansas City Chiefs, they've obviously brought a Minshew back since the last time we talked to you. Still think it's is it defensive tackle, offensive tackle? Do you go tackle, and then, you know, whatever happens in the third round with those two picks? But do you still think the first round pick? Like, where are we at with that in a new week with a new mock?
I'm staying defense with the Chiefs. They're just so loaded at those positions. If you want a quality position, it's the defensive line in the first round, where the Chiefs can still get somebody of real quality at 31. That's the direction they'll go. But yeah, I know they brought in free agents, but you're not running it back exactly with those guys. You want to create depth. You want to create the situation where you draft a receiver maybe in the second or third, and you're pushing Juju in training camp to make the team or not. You want to draft another running back and give the Chiefs a decision. So the Chiefs are, I know that it looks like, you know, running it back status quo with the guys they have, but I do believe this draft will be full of guys to give them depth and push for playing time up in St. Joe. But I don't think anything's really changed, to be honest with you. Yeah, they brought Kareem Hunt back and all that. That's fine, and Juju's back. But that doesn't mean the Chiefs aren't going to be active as far as what they do. And not only that, there are smoke screens in the NFL where teams do bring back players. It looks like they're set, and they want to go a certain direction with players, and that's what they do. You always create that smoke screen for other teams. But I think defensive tackle or edge is where the Chiefs should go first. Yeah, Pinnell's back, and Omenihu. I like the Omenihu. I think there's a nice bring back for the Chiefs. But as far as does it affect what they do in the draft, I don't think it affects it at all.
Jay, do you think this is the most pressure that Brett Veach has ever been under pre-draft? You know, got the largest laundry list of needs, maybe?
I think he was kind of under a lot of pressure that Eagles Super Bowl win that they won. because I always remember him holding up that Lombardi trophy at the parade and said, this is what a rebuild looks like, because of the money that they had tied up in certain players. And Mahomes took more cap money than any winning quarterback in NFL history had ever done. And you think of Nazi Johnson, you know, contributing. You think of Jalen Watson. You think of Isaiah Pacheco on that team. He needed that draft class. Like, he needed to find that running back. When he even said it before the draft, he says, I think I can get a 1,000-yard rusher, you know, in the seventh round or undrafted. Of course, he hasn't hit that mark, but he's been close to it. And I think he rebuilt the team that year. But I think this year, right there with it. I mean, I think that year, that the rookie year of Watson, definitely was part of that 2022 draft class. I think they needed those guys because of all the money that's been spent elsewhere, and you need the draft. Because what the Chiefs have done is set the bar, and we see all these teams paying their quarterbacks, and they're not winning. They're not winning the Super Bowl. Chiefs are the only team that's really gone out and given their quarterback a monster contract, and they're winning Super Bowls. We've seen Josh Allen get all the money. We've seen Lamar Jackson. We've seen Joe Burrow. We've seen Justin Herbert. We've seen all these guys get Dak Prescott. We've seen all these guys get monster contracts, but they don't win. But the Chiefs have found a way to win and do it with the Mahomes contract, which I think is absolutely brilliant. They just restructure and do everything else. But they've always talked about, you know, limiting this quarterback salary cap or ceiling to where they can go. But the Chiefs shouldn't want that because they figured out a way to win and pay their quarterback. But, yeah, I do believe there's a certain amount of pressure to find depth. And more mocks have the Chiefs going offensive tackle. Even though Kuiper did, I don't think the Chiefs are going offensive tackle at 31. I think this is very similar to the year where they went and traded the Ravens for Orlando Brown. It was all tackles in the first round. Everybody was saying Sam Cosmi and Liam Eisenberg and Alex Leatherwood and all these guys. And the Chiefs are like, nah, we're going to try to go out and get Orlando Brown. And they did. And is Jalen the answer long-term at left tackle? No. But he is a fifth-round pick. And could the Chiefs draft somebody in the mid rounds and hope that he materializes in a year or two? Maybe so. Maybe they throw a dart on that. But I don't see tackle in the first round for the Chiefs. A lot of people do, but they're going on the short arm guys. You know, Andy Reid does not like short arm guys. So all these mocks that I continue to see these short arm guys to the Chiefs, I scratch my head.
All right, Binkley, I hope you have your nachos ready and your Polish and your sauerkraut, onions, and peppers. Tomorrow's opening day. It's one of the greatest days of the year, buddy. We appreciate the time.
Yeah, what a day for weather for tailgating and opening day. What a day. What a day.
Horny. All right, Binkley, we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
See you guys.
That is Jay Binkley. Coming up on the other side, it is another reminder of a question that we have for you, which is our poll question at the top of the poll of Fesco and Dusty, the fan. Do you tailgate for opening day? Yes or no? The numbers are astonishing, and the numbers yesterday in the conversation that we've had the last couple of days.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
We're also astonishing. We'll bring that back up here on the other side on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty. Subscribe and watch the show on YouTube by going to our channel at The Fan 965, Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.